did. I'm on? Okay. Let me moisten my lips here. A couple of quick things I wanted to share before I get started. This morning, driving to fellowship, you always see the cars in front of you, right? You read bumper stickers, you see license plates and what have you. Most of the time, the garbage. But this morning, I saw a license plate in front of me that moved my heart, and it's true. And it said, the. And then, you can love. And the best love we can receive is from who? I can't hear you. Thank you, thank you. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is, this morning, I woke up fairly early, and lying in bed, God was talking to me, and I was listening and talking back with him. And then he gave me an analogy. It's not a fair one to make, but still yet it is. And he said, I'm going to give you an analogy about what little you know about eternal life, just that it's on the way. And he says, when you go to another country you've never been to, what's the one thing that comes to mind? You're excited. You're anticipating that. You don't know what it's like because you've never been there, but you know there's a lot of good things you plan on enjoying, right? So God said to me, well, what do you think about eternal life? You've never been there. You're on your way. Are you anticipating with excitement? I sure hope so. So that's the analogy he gave me. And the place I thought about was Italy, because we just made a trip there, and we're so excited to be there, and give me a pizza and pasta, and I'm good. Okay. I'm going to hand out some notes for you guys. And don't bother to look at them yet. We'll get there. So if I could ask Daniel and Bob to hand these out, that would be wonderful. And some of them are slightly different, but they're the same. You will see. This wonderful picture that my wife selected, she's always coming up with gems, has to do with the title of my sharing. And it's called, There's Power in His Name. Hence, this picture she chose. Now, there's power in His name because all that our Lord and Savior has endured. You don't need to look at your notes that I handed out. If I could have your attention up here, that would be wonderful. We'll go to them in a minute. Because all that our Lord and Savior has endured in His life's obedience to the Father demonstrates the power in His blood. A lot of power in His blood. And guess who that's passed on to? God's children, you and I. In life, I don't know if you notice this, but you probably have. In life, man judges how successful something is by its power. A football team, baseball team, what have you. A bigger motor. I want more power in my motor, so I'm getting me a bigger motor. A louder speaker. You want the best surround sound you could possibly get. More powerful technology, such as AI. We've got that at work, and it can be a doozy. Well, what about powerful cleansers? When it comes to getting all cleaned up in the physical realm, we have such things as hand sanitizer. We've got them all over the plant at work. You have alcohol that also is powerful and can clean you up. And we have good old soap. Good old soap. Which they say has stain removers. Well, when it comes to our spiritual life, we have been cleansed through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Christ with power. Bottom line, with power. So there's power in the blood which has sin remover. There's no sin that can stain you that you can't get out, but it's been taken care of. No comparison. What about our history? We all have a history. We all have a past. The bad stuff that we're guilty of. There's no soap or works that man's effort could cleanse our slates with. That's why Jesus Christ endured what he did. So, praise God for his perfect plan and Jesus Christ's cleansing power, that is, his saving blood, that completely cleanses you and I through his once only sacrifice. You only had to do it one time. I need for us to please go to Titus. I'll be going back and forth from the New Living Translation to the King James. That's all I'm going to say, but please follow. Titus chapter 3, please. And in Titus chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done. How many of you go through life saying, I'm good because I did these righteous things? No, you believe in Jesus Christ's name. He is your Lord and Savior. But because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Plain and simple. Nothing that man could do could possibly clean up our history and its past. Period. Period. Look at 1 John chapter 1, please. And in verse 1, we're going to start in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God loves that three-letter word. He uses it over and over in his word, and that's all. He'll heal you all. It says here, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Is God a liar? No. He's not a man that he could lie or should lie. But nonetheless, God is just making it perfectly clear to us what it's all about. It's like saying, oh, I'm not that dirty. I can clean myself up. Now, maybe if you get mud on you or something, I don't know. But the answer to that is nope, 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 not at all. Now, some of God's wisdom and instructions. And for us to see that, we're going to start by going to 2 Corinthians, verse or chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians, please. And when you get to chapter 6, please go to verse 14 for starters. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God is not saying, don't talk to anyone who doesn't confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and that I raised him from the dead. Because there's an opportunity for us to get that person on the right track. Right? But if you're going to want to hang out with someone who says, I hate God, he's not, don't, walk away. There's many, many other people that you can fellowship with. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Question mark. And what communion has light with darkness? You got a dark place, you turn on the light, the darkness is gone. you got people who are all which way in their mind. Bring on a belief. Help them get rid of that. Now, we've been given a second chance, or a better way of putting it is the new birth realities. That's our second chance. Our second birth is, in many ways, you can say is bigger than our first birth, but you needed the first birth to get to the second birth. Through God's good grace and mercy. Amen? Okay, now we'll be looking at the paper that we just handed out, the paper I just handed out to you. And here are seven benefits the blood of Jesus Christ has given us. And these are not the only seven or the only ones. There's many others. But I love the number seven, so I put down seven. Okay. The first one is redemption. It frees believers from bondage, redeeming them from the power of sin and the enemy, buying them back for God. So, let's go to Colossians 1:14, please. Colossians 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been redeemed through his blood and forgiven of the sins. Whatever you could come up with, consider them gone. Consider them washed away. If God is not going to remember them and doesn't want to, why should we? Why should we? That's where forgiveness plays a key role. Someone offends you, forgive them. Forgive them. You're going to want the same in your lives. Are you not? Number two, justification. Makes a believer righteous and declared not guilty in God's eyes as if they had never sinned, as in a courtroom. Picture this. You go into a courtroom in heaven, and Almighty God is the judge. You're standing before him. You've got the prosecutor and the defender. I don't need to tell you who's who. The defender is Jesus Christ. The prosecutor is the evil one, Satan. The evil one speaks to the judge and says, this guy, Al, you see his history? He's done this and done that, and maybe he's going to do more of that. And he gets done with his spiel. And then Jesus Christ takes the podium. He says, Heavenly Father, I've done your will. He's a free man. He has no bad record. It's all behind him. And then the adversary says, no, that's not true. He's going to do more of this bad stuff. And Jesus Christ says, he's been forgiven. And Jesus Christ turns to the prosecutor, Satan, and he says, do you not smell the bottom of his feet? Because that's where you are. And he just strolls out of the courtroom. And then God gets his gavel, if you will, boom, slams it down and says, innocent, you're a free man, and off I go. The same thing for all of us. So that's the courtroom of God. Go to Romans 4:25, please. As I do. Book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses? Who was delivered for our offenses? Jesus Christ. Okay? And was raised again for our justification. That completes the cycle. Jesus Christ was raised. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in a place of honor. So, we don't need to have all these hang-ups in our days about, am I good enough? Am I going here? Am I going there? No. We've been justified through Jesus Christ. Number three, cleansing cleanses. It purifies from all sin, washing hearts and consciences. You may not say it verbally, but you know what? Inside, subconsciously, you are not feeling so. Why? Because there's junk that you're entertaining in your mind. There is. You don't even have to make an effort. It just comes with the territory because we are human. We have five senses, one, the mind, right? So you start little by little tearing yourself. And Jesus Christ says, why? You've been set free. Think of the new man. Think of the new birth realities that you're a part of. Allowing fellowship with God. That's what we do. We do. Go to James 4:8, please. Book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8. Come close to God. How closer can we come to God than Him living within us? You can put clothes on or cologne, perfume, whatever. That's on you. But God is in you. I dare one of you to start drinking cologne to make yourself smell better. Don't. But God is in us. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Is it? Okay. I always look in the mirror or point the finger at me and ask myself, is it? And I go, no. Father, you are the end all of everything. I need you involved in every part of my day, every day. I want you interwoven in my life so that whatever decisions I make, whatever actions I take will be the best. Why? Because in the front of my mind, I'm thinking of the Father. In the front of my mind, I'm thinking of Jesus Christ and all that He endured. So why would you want to go to the other side? See? Are you going to be tempted throughout life? Absolutely. I've got personal temptations that I'm constantly pushing them to the side and fighting against them. But I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot easier doing that, being a son or daughter of God, than not. More than likely, the temptation will win. Yeah, some people say, well, I'm not going to do that. Okay, what about the next time, and the next time, and the next time? God is saying, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. And you've got your risen Lord and Savior who, again, endured that cost, that price, to help you through these times. Number four, sanctification. It's a big one. Sets believers apart as holy, making them holy in whose eyes? God's. If you look at me and say, I don't think you're holy. Okay, but God does. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, please. Yeah, in God's eyes, we are the best. Chapter 2, and I said verse 13. But, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I don't know if I'd have enough room to write down all the times while I'm at work where I'm thanking God for helping me with this, this, and this. Because before I get to work, I ask Him, I need your help this day. Tomorrow's another day. This day. Give me your wisdom. Give me your direction. Give me your love. And sure enough, do my job, and a better way of doing it comes up, and right away, thank you, Father. Thank you for showing me this. Thank you for reaching out with your hand and giving me a nudge to go right instead of left. So there's plenty of reasons to be thankful every day throughout the day. Try doing that. When you're driving, whatever you're doing, something good happens, you know it's honestly good, right there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daddy. There's so many things that we need to recognize what the Father does for us. Number five on your list is reconciliation. Reconciliation bridges the gap between restoring the broken relationship. If you're going to go over any bridge, not the Coronado, not the Golden Gate, go over the bridge of reconciliation. God Almighty is waiting. He's prepared that bridge for you to walk over boldly, with confidence, and with belief in Him. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, please. And in 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to go to verse 18. And it says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Not only have we been reconciled, but we help others with that. We help them get out of the soup and dry off with the Comforter, Jesus Christ. 19 goes on to say, "Witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing or not counting their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The very creator of the heavens and the universe, the world, all the good stuff, God is saying, "I'm giving you a responsibility. I'm giving you a privilege." He's given me this wonderful task. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. So why would we not want to help someone besides Tyre? Right? Okay. Let me go back here and get down to number six. Protection and deliverance. This offers spiritual protection against the devil and his works. He's got some works. He's got tools in his shed with your name on it. Breaking spiritual bondage. God, through Jesus Christ, has taken the handcuffs and the shackles off our lives, figuratively. But that's what happens when we submit and obey Him. Go to Psalms 32, please. I'll show you something. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 7. Psalms 32, 7. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. Ponder on that. There's a concert going on that's surrounding you that God has provided for your deliverance. And there's no more beautiful words that we could hear from the Father than His. So do not hesitate for one day or one moment to not pay attention to the protection and deliverance we have. And it could be a physical protection too, because God wants us to be safe. There's been a few times where my wife and I are driving from our home, and when we get to the main crossroad, which is Limerick and Claremont Mesa Boulevard, there's an accident. And cars are all crunched, fire trucks. And right away we think, remember when we were getting ready to leave, we said, "Oh, wait a minute, I forgot something." We took another 5 minutes. Had we not, that could have been us. So what do? I thank God that that wasn't us at the intersection in that collision. And it's happened more than once. So another thing to say, Father, thank you for protection. Thank you for your deliverance. And finally, number seven, access and healing. It provides access to God's presence, brings physical, emotional, spiritual healing. And for this, I would ask you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and we'll go down to verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I get choked up when I think about that, because I'm thinking, Father, do you not know who I am and what I've done? But what happened in the courtroom? We're clear and free. We're clear and free. God would rather that I spend my time and energy thinking about that stuff than thinking about me being unworthy. And you, and every other son or daughter of God. We have to refocus our mind every day to the realities, to the promises, and to the guidance God gives us. Because if we don't, guess the wings to do that for you? The world. And I know we've all been there. I've been there at work, out in public, or what have you. But I take a step forward, not back, a step forward, and remind myself, I am loved by the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth. It's anything that man can say about me or try and do to me. We have been freely given every one of these seven benefits that we just looked at through the power of the blood in Jesus Christ. We should walk with our chest out and our smiles inside and out, knowing some of our makeup, and that's what it is. We've been on God's heart from the beginning, from the beginning. And what Jesus did, doing his Father's will, was for our benefit. Praise God, and thank you, Jesus. In conclusion, let's live for God with power and his love, serving, doing his will. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters and myself these realities in your word that are wonderful reminders of what we have through Jesus Christ's obedience to you. And Father, help us be obedient to you in our walk, and that we can rise up, Father, with this power. Let's not keep it potential, but reality. Let's step out, Father, and light the fuse in our life to explode your love to the world. And so I just thank you for each person here and their hearts and what they can do. They have a purpose, Father, because the glory is always yours, and we are living the best life known to man and have a better one ahead of us. It is in Jesus' name, Father, that I thank you, praise you. Amen.
Amen. All right. And, of course, as Al mentioned, there is so much more, that we have because of the name of Jesus, right? My goodness, so thank you, Al, for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Have fun. Enjoy each other's company. We will see you here, there, or in the air.
Amen.
God bless.